This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Josh. I wanted to kick things off here with a note from Duncan McKenzie, who emailed us, and he wanted to know, do we ever dream about FPL? We're pretty serious. Serious isn't quite the word to describe us, but I imagine you're the type that does dream about your fantasy team.
That's a good question. I don't know that I dream about it. I will lay in bed thinking about it. But this is like a long, I used to do this when I learned how to play chess. I learned how to play chess kind of like late in high school, I think, or something like that. And for like the first year after I learned how to play chess, I would lay in bed and just like think about, I couldn't turn my brain off. And I would just think about chess moves and like positions like that. And then when I got into poker in college, I had kind of sort of the same thing where I would lay in bed thinking about, you know, hands and situations, things like that. So I guess fantasy is kind of like, I do that as well, where I'll sort of lay in bed and I'll think about, God, this sounds so lame. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, this is all honest, but I hate how lame this sounds.
I think you're probably in good company thinking about those chess moves, because I'm sure you saw the report today that Magnus Carlsen, the best chess player in the world or thereabouts, is ranked number 3 overall in the world in fantasy.
I did see that. Yeah. That's really awesome. It's it was one of those, like, it's good for the game sort of.
Yeah. Our ambassador for FPL globally is a chess champion. And that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. That does speak to what you were saying. It's kind of a nerdy culture. But I don't dream about my fantasy team, but I do have those dreams. You know, the typical dream where something bad is happening and you're trying to scream, but nothing's coming out of your mouth. I have this dream where I am actually playing football. I'm playing soccer and I need to pass the ball, but I can't. I can't pass it. This is something that's going to come up later in the podcast, but it makes me feel kind of impotent. So it's never a good dream when it comes to football or fantasy that I'm having.
All right, let's move. Yeah, that was a good opening salvo, but we got a lot to talk about, right? We got a lot to cover this game week. And game week 16, it's almost in the books. It's 9/10 in the books. I'd say it's even more than 9/10, considering I feel like it's just, you have what, a handful of Aubameyang owners, an even smaller handful of Lacazette, but there's really no one has West Ham players right now, right? No one's got.
Not anymore. The era of Yarmolenko is way in the rear view mirror
went.
At this point.
Yeah, exactly. I think Zaha might be the next, he's the next Yarmolenko, right? Sort of came and went super quickly. Yeah.
He may already be in the rear view, exactly.
You know what's funny is Neil Mape was a player who I thought was going to leave, but he kind of hasn't left. You know, it's like we all stopped talking about him and yet he keeps scoring like every week. Mm-hmm. It's like it's this strange thing where we're all like, no, he's not good. We don't want him. It's just every week he's it seems like he's scoring right now.
Kind of a Jeff Hornacek type player or something like that.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of hanging around the edges a little bit. So, okay. I have a question for you, Brandon. Every week we do these, you know, we do the regular podcast and we do these kitchen table podcasts for patrons. And we alternate, you know, who's the lead host on those podcasts. And so I'm curious, on those podcasts, you're almost becoming infamous now for advocating for major moves and then not doing them the next day. So just if you had to do like back of a cocktail napkin, your Thursday, your proposed Thursday transfers versus your actual Friday transfers, how much are the Thursday transfers ahead at this point? If they are ahead.
they're ahead by quite some distance. Yeah, it's a good... The podcast is always a good record of our thinking and at one point in time. And then you look at our actual teams and you can see how our thoughts actually come to fruition. And yeah, it always seems like the moves that I think about Thursday night do better than the ones that I end up making with my team. And I've been in this – I put myself in this position a lot this season with just – with two free transfers. And – you've talked about the burden of two free transfers and,
yes,
and
the curse of two free transfers.
You tend to think that having two free sort of unlocks a quote mini wild card and it frees you up to being really creative with your moves. But actually the effect is you seize and you have too many options. Mm-hmm. And I end up just going for the safer option. So Thursday night, I laid out this beautiful plan of Sterling and Jimenez out for Dele Alli and Marcus Rashford. And I would have been up at least 10 points had I made those moves. Yeah. So I ended up going for just Jack Grealish and banking another free transfer instead. Thank God Jack Grealish scored a goal to justify some of my thinking.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And Grealish does look like the type of player that we're all going to want come game week 18.
I know.
That unless he gets a yellow card.
That fourth yellow is actually huge, and it kind of scares me off bringing him in this week. I feel like I've got a – now I'm sort of nervous about bringing him in. I'm going to wait one more. When does it reset? Is it after game week 20? Is that when you can go game week 19 or 20? It's one of those two. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a good question. I will look it up here while you continue talking.
While I vamp for a second.
Yeah.
We'll do the score check. So while you're researching that, I will do a quick score check for my own team. I will say first and foremost that I am very glad that we did not do a podcast after game week 15. Had far and away my worst game week. It's the game week that everyone has once a season where it's every highly owned player that you don't own does well. And that was the game week for me. And I had five green arrows in a row. I've been sort of playing the differential game. I was moving, I had these low ownership players. They were working out pretty well for me. I moved about 500,000 spots or so. And I was around 200K. And then I had a game week rank of 6 million in game week 15. And I added 300,000 spots to my score. I think I was around 500,000 after that. And so game week 16, I've crawled a lot of that back. I'm at 68 points and back up to 300. I think I'll be around 375,000 or so once the final scores are all in, because a lot of people have captained Vardy or captain Mane, and they're going to get Vardy's points if they vice captain him or any other player for that matter. Mane didn't play. A lot of auto subs are going to come in as well. So your overall rank as of this recording is not really an accurate reflection of what it's going to look like once all those auto subs come in. So it looks like I'll have made up about 100,000 spots. I'll be inside the top 400K, which I guess is okay. It still feels a little frustrating, but I feel good about my team, and in many ways, I feel good. I mean, I captained Vardy, Mo Salah, held on to him despite my frustration in game week 15. I got rewarded with 13 points there. I transferred in Dele Alli and got two assists from him there. I did bring in Kevin De Bruyne. I went Sterling to De Bruyne, and then I used that money to go from Mason Mount to Dele Alli. So still a net gain, but in hindsight, Son would have been the player to go with there. It just that was like a bridge too far for me. And of course, as I was saying to you before, sort of the podcast, these things always are so much more clear once the game week happens. But going into that match, I felt pretty confident that Man City were going to get a couple of goals in that match at home to Man United. I did not think that Man United would beat them 2-1. That was not even in my like reckoning, you know, going into that match. So how about you?
Yeah, I am all out before the West Ham Arsenal game, 60 points. And while that's 15 points above the average, I feel like I am going to be on a gray dot or maybe even a red arrow after all the auto subs and vice captains kick in, like you were mentioning. And Man City continues to be my weakness with Sterling and De Bruyne in my midfield. And I agree, I expected much more from Man City at home in that Manchester derby. And when that final whistle blows, I had this feeling that could have marked the official death of the Pep Guardiola era at Manchester City. I mean, maybe it's pretty obvious to a lot of people listening that this has been coming for a long time, or maybe I'm just over-exaggerating, but something seems to be dead in this team, whether they're just completely out of gas or the rest of the league is sort of catching up to the game they're playing at. I don't know, but I was just really shocked at how they couldn't get anything going. And
yeah, I was going to say, I wonder how much of it is just Liverpool being so far ahead right now. And, you know, just I feel like it must take so much energy to actually keep it up the entire year in a league, sustain that kind of, you know, sustain that sort of champ, the form you need to win the Premier League title. And, you know, maybe after doing it 2 years in a row and now they're down whatever it is now, like 14 points, 11 going into that match, they just didn't have like they didn't want it enough, you know, because it felt like it was already lost. And maybe if the lead was 3 points or something like that, maybe that doesn't feel, maybe they have a little more in the tank. I don't know. That's just a guess, but I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's a possibility.
It does feel like, though, FPL wise, if you are on the fence with your City assets, you have now, Mr. Policeman, I gave you all the clues. It's time to maybe you don't need to dump all of yours. Maybe holding on to KDB, like Sterling, KDB. I don't want it to become a conversation of like these guys are terrible. They're not terrible. There's just not something working in terms of accumulating Premier League points and FPL points. So that's that. I made my sideways move, McGinn out, and McGinn has been withering away in the FPL conversation for a while now. So Jack Grealish came in for him. Fine, that's great. And I can verify that the yellow card rule resets in game week 19. So if Grealish is still on 4 yellows after game week 18 concludes, then he's good. He's golden.
Oh, game week 18 is the final game week. Correct. Like if he gets through that one going into 19, he's clear. So that's not bad, actually. That's only two. That might be worth me bringing him in for game week 18 then. That's a good thing to know. I am I need to solve my Tielemans problem soon. And so maybe that's the way I do it.
And my captaincy, I just continue to not be able to get this right. I decided to go with my gut and be a little different and went with Heung-min Son. And I thought I was looking in great shape with a bonus point, goal and an assist. And then Vardy just did his Vardy thing. And
yeah, 1 point difference, though. Not, you know, pretty
well, pretty close. Technically. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A 1 point difference. But listen, I'm going for maximum points here, Jack.
Okay.
I'm going for the max.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
So I'm curious to see where the 60 points shakes out when the game week is totally closed up.
Yeah, I don't think it'll change too much. I mean, if you know, there's a couple of those like Premier Fantasy tools. There's some sites online where you can you know, Fantasy Football Fix, where you can check your live rank, and that will include things like auto subs and you know, vice captains who become captains and things like that. And so that, you know, my mine's like around 375 or something like that. I think I don't see it going up that much more after tomorrow's match. But it was just kind of a funny one. And it, you know, so sort of, but interestingly, you know, I got the I got the points from Salah, Ali, captained a player who had a brace and didn't really move up as much as I thought I was going to. And so I think the got us thinking about the theme for this week's podcast, which are, who are the candidates for a ranking jump? Like, if you want to move up in overall rank, and we use overall rank as a target. Obviously, most people are more mini league focused. Even I'm more mini league focused, despite having this podcast. I mean, when I think about what my goals are as a fantasy manager, it's, I want to win my mini leagues. You know, I don't have like a overall rank target that I set for myself. But if you're moving up in the overall rank, you're typically moving up in your mini leagues as well. So, so who are the candidates for a rankings jump? We're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the flip side, which I think is just as important, which is, who do you drop? You know, it's all well and good to, you know, move heaven and earth to bring Sun in, but like, how many points are you taking out of your team when you do that? You know? And so I think that is actually what holds people up more than anything. And it's letting go of, you know, like you were saying, like with Man City, right? It's just, you know, you had three, you held on to three for a long time, finally got down to two. And even then it was kind of hard, you know? I mean, I felt that way going into Saturday's match. I mean, I dropped Sterling finally after weeks and weeks, and I felt so anxious going into that match not having Raheem Sterling. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times he blanks, you know, it was still a hard move to make. So
have to solve is like, I was looking to move Sterling and Jimenez for Ali and Rashford. I'm moving good players for other good players. And it is a feat of mental strength to understand what the like marginal differences there are there to make sense for like the coming fixtures and what the form tells you about all that.
Yeah. And I think just in general, that leap of faith is always a leap of faith. I mean, because obviously we're not playing, it's not like this is a pre-programmed thing where the results are there to be unlocked. I mean, you sort of have to make a leap and hope that you have some luck in your favor. You know, I mean, you can make an educated guess, but you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, that's why it's so hard to drop these people. So that's the theme, Brandon. We're not even there yet, though. We've got other stuff to talk about. We have a rant this week, don't we?
Yeah, this rant comes from William TJ Cowmeadow. What a bloody good name that is. William has this to say with regards to rants. Triple Captain Vardy against Watford. This was last week, the worst team in the league for a massive 5-pointer. So if my math is right, Josh, 5 times 3 is 15 points. Okay. This week, the inconsiderate sod nabs a brace and all 3 bonus points. C'est la Vardy. I think we could make a t-shirt here that says C'est la Vardy. Maybe that takes over the Vardy party cliche and we just say C'est la Vardy.
Wasn't that an odd one where he got his foot stepped on and it got reviewed and he still got the yellow card for diving when it was quite clear on any video replay that you watched that I don't want to re-legislate like 2 game weeks ago now, but that was an odd one, wasn't it? I was so surprised that yellow for diving held up after he very clearly did not dive. I don't know. It's very strange.
I am so cynical and VAR is not helping that in me. So, you know, I can't really discuss this because VAR has just gotten so many. Well, it's like, I don't want to say VAR has gotten so many things wrong, but I don't know.
Getting it right is no fun. This. Yeah. We both hate it. Everyone knows we hate it. We talk about it all the time. It's fine. You know, if you like it, great. No problem.
To that point, there was this tweet that I love from Jonathan Wilson who said, if VAR has made me realize anything, it's that deep down, I'd rather decisions were funny and appropriate than correct.
Yes.
So I think I'm kind of with Jonathan there.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't get on that road again, but the Norwich match was like so marred by VAR. I mean, the whole second half, there were just these long, you know, like that when that red card got rescinded, that took like 5 minutes. It was just like, oh, so in the Lundstrom goal that wasn't got reviewed forever too. I mean, there should have been like 15 minutes of extra time because I don't know what, like, I don't know why fans still go to these matches because if they're going to get stopped for this much, it just seems like you're wasting your money. So anyway, Brandon, no Super League. We did it. We did another rant, didn't we? We just couldn't stop.
It's inevitable. It is inevitable.
Yeah, no Super League update because the game week is not over yet. And with all the auto subs and everything, it just didn't feel like even doing like in the middle of things version of it didn't seem useful. So we'll update that on our social medias later this week. Patreon, we have a, we put out the call. It's December. We try not to hit people up too much about Patreon during the year. Obviously, we talk about a lot at the beginning of the season, but during the year itself, we try to keep it cool. But this is Christmas. If you got a big holiday bonus or something like that, and you want to give a little tip to the cheaters, that would be great. You can support the podcast. You, of course, get access to our private Slack. It's a great time to be on the Slack, where obviously with matches coming fast and furious, there's all kinds of conversation on there. We're doing bonus podcasts. We're still kind of working out our bonus podcast schedule for the holidays, but we're certainly doing regular podcasts that whole time, and we'll be doing some bonus podcasts as well. And then obviously back to your normal two times a week, starting January 1. So if you'd like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And we have some new patrons this week. Do we not, Brandon?
Yeah. Big thanks to our patrons at the Lord Sorloth level, Phil, Marcel Shuri, Marshall Kibbe, John Reynolds, Adam Edgton, Torben Blatter, any relation, Torben? Interesting. And Suren Sajowski. So big thanks to those new Patreon members. And like Josh said, for more information, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll get back and we'll talk about the players you can target to move up in the rankings. All right, we're back. And this week's main topic is climbing up the rankings. Luke has a question. He says, like many, I'm currently treading water, and at best, I'm moving up 1K each game week. That can't be true, Luke. 1K? That would be truly miserable. I would stop playing if it was 1K. Is differential captaincy the way to break this pattern? And if so, how differential should we be? How differential should we be going?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, let's just start with that, because we mentioned at the top of the podcast, we're going to talk about players, candidates to buy, candidates to drop. But what do you think about just being different with the captaincy? How do you feel about that?
I'm actually a big fan of this tactic because, I'm not sure going full Maverick going into game week 17, and we're not even halfway through the season yet. I mean, we're getting there. But if you just go so far outside of the template, you're risking more than you stand to gain, I think, especially because so many templated players are that way because they're consistently scoring points. So a captaincy is a lower risk way for you to take a bigger swing. And that was my thinking going for Sun. The problem is with his thinking, however logical it may be, is that Jamie Vardy is kind of breaking things at the moment where he's scoring every bloody game week. So how do you go Maverick on a captaincy when the bandwagon captain, Vardy, is just going to continue to tick along? So that is making this way of playing FPL much harder.
Yeah, I mean, and Leicester play at home to Norwich in game week 17, which it's going to take a – well, okay, this is interesting because in game week 15, you had Vardy at home to Watford and overwhelming captaincy shout there. There was a real case to be made for not going with him, and just taking the risk and going with someone like Sadio Mane, despite the fear of everyone, captaining him. And obviously it worked out, really well in that case, a 10-point difference. 10 points is a lot. I mean, when you think about trying to get from, let's say you have a mini league of 20 managers and you're, 60 points behind first place, you're not going to make up 60 in one or two game weeks, right? Like you have to target 10 points a game week, 10 points here, 10 points there. There's still, 20 game weeks left in the season. There's so much time. And there's triple captains and double game weeks. And there's all kinds of stuff that can still happen that you can make up those points really easily. So, but 10 points at a time is a differential captain. That's one way to do it. I think, in 17, it's kind of interesting because you do have Leicester at home to Norwich. I will be captaining Vardy personally, but I think the case for Sadio Mane is pretty strong at home to Watford. I mean, that's probably an equally good, if not just slightly worse fixture, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think that, maybe that was my old cynicism that was creeping into that captaincy discussion, because I do think while Sun was a point shy of Vardy's tally this week, Sun was still a really great differential captain home Burnley. And as you say, Mane is great home Watford in game week 17. So the differential captains continue to be there as options. And more to the theme, it's all going to be a leap of faith through this holiday fixture period. Are you going to be strong enough mentally to go without captaining Vardy in a plum fixture like home Norwich?
Yeah.
And that's really okay. So I guess another way to look at it would be the low risk nature of this technique is that you already own Vardy. So even if everyone else is captaining him, they're going to get I don't need to explain to you how captaincies work, but at least you're getting half of those points.
Yeah.
And if we can target some of these players that we're about to talk about that have much less ownership, let's see, Vardy right now is close to 50% ownership. So on captaincy, effective 100% ownership. But if you look at Dele Alli, who's 11% ownership, and you captain him, and somehow he manages to edge out Vardy's tally for that game week, then that's going to be a huge rise for you, that results. So it's a leap of faith to get there, but if it goes your way, that is the exact outcome that we're talking about.
And I think that it'll be a little easier. Maybe game week 17 isn't the ideal fixture for this. I mean, unless you're going Sadio Mane, and I think that's fine. But if we're thinking like heavy differential, someone with a super low ownership, I don't know that game week 17 is the best. You have to pick your spots when you're different with a captain. I mean, there's, it's all well and good to say I'm going to go wild with my captains. I'm going to take huge swings every game week. You do that a few times and it goes poorly and suddenly you're 2 million overall and you just kind of stop caring, And so I think that you do have to be a little bit careful, but looking at game week 18 and 19, suddenly that is a spot where there's a lot of, I think, advantage in trying to be creative. I mean, Vardy, Leicester will be away to Man City. So that's a tricky fixture for Man City and for Leicester. Liverpool will be away at the Club World Cup. Is that what they call it? At the Club World Cup?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then, it's pretty interesting. I think there's some really interesting possibilities there. You have Norwich away to Wolves. Maybe Jimenez is interesting for that. Aston Villa, Southampton, Jack Grealish. I mean, I think there's a potential to go, really create even, maybe Son at home to Chelsea. I think there are even more kind of left field than that. I mean, those are in some ways those are just going to be the obvious captain picks for that game week. But, maybe you go with, I don't know, who stands out game week 18? Like just looking at Overbrand, is anyone, maybe Richarlison at home to Arsenal, something like that. Just like super, because this is like I think we've talked about this before in the podcast, but when people talk about, I can't move up or I can't move down. And, and we get these kind of, rate my teams share with us. And sometimes it feels like it's like the same pool of 18 players that are being considered. And, it's like, you got to expand that pool. You have to at least double it. I mean, there's certainly, Marcus Rashford was not in any of the teams that anybody was sharing with me for weeks and weeks and weeks while he was scoring consistently. And, we were even, a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, we talked about Crystal Palace defenders and how they would be, a team that you'd want to target for these fixtures. But you just weren't seeing them pop up until they showed it for a couple of weeks. And I think that's the whole leap of faith part of it that we're talking about, which is it's all very easy and logical to move to these players once you've seen them do really well 2 or 3 weeks in a row. It's the doing it before they've shown anything that's the leap of faith. And that's what you have to do if you want to make up ground, is you have to guess and you have to and then hope you get lucky, because it's like I said before, it's not a video game. We don't know what's going to happen. You have to take some risks. So
if I had to set my captaincy for game week 18 right now, I do think that Marcus Rashford would be my guy, looking at that Watford fixture and the various matchups.
So Rashford's coming in for you. That's happening.
He is on the he's on the strategic plan for Brandon Incorporated. Exactly.
Okay. Should we answer some questions? We got some.
Yeah, let's talk about these actual candidates. Who are they? First one comes from Chancer, who asks Spurs. Now we've already intoned the names of Dele Alli and Heung-Min Son. are we believers? Do we believe in Spurs? So I'm on Sun, you're on Allie. Mm-hmm. I feel like we both have to be very happy with that. But are we happy enough? Could we be happier?
Well, Sun could have had a 20-point game, right? I mean, he...
He was putting balls on platters for the rest of his teammates, for sure.
Yeah, long free kicks, too. I don't remember him... I mean, I don't want to watch Spurs as closely as real hardcore Spurs fans do, but I don't remember him sending in free kicks the way he was doing. Remember that? There was a free kick that Harry Kane just missed. I think it was the end of the first half or early in the second.
The absence of Christian Eriksen, which has maybe freed that up for Son. And you do get this sense that Son has yet to be subbed since Mourinho came in. Like, is Son the golden boy for Mourinho at the moment? Is he going to get all the responsibility?
Seems that way. I don't know. I don't know if is he leaving at all for... Feels like every year he has, like, you know, he's going hot, and then he has some international commitments.
I think the Asian Cup that's coming up for South Korea, it's meant to be just for domestic players who play in domestic Asian leagues. That's my understanding. They did this in an African Cup of Nations recently as well. So I think that Son is cool for the Premier League for a while.
Here's a question for you. And Emil Seilich says, would you move Son for KDB? And I think it's really interesting, the Son versus KDB. I guess the first question is, who is a better fixture in game week 17? Is it KDB away to Arsenal or Son away to Wolves?
I mean, in theory, it's KDB going against that really, really soft Arsenal defense.
Yeah.
And Wolves, you know, they can be a little chaotic at times, but Spurs can struggle against teams like this, especially away. But all that said, I have lots of questions about Man City's form. So, yeah, this is a total coin flip for me.
Yeah, it is for me too. And it's enough of a coin flip that I wouldn't necessarily advocate for that transfer. I feel like in general, when I'm making a transfer, I don't want it to feel like I'm moving a player I basically like for a player I want a little bit more. You know, that usually feels like a waste of a transfer for me. I usually feel like there are other problems in my team I guess if I had no problems and I loved my team and maybe I had two free transfers and I only wanted to use one, you know, there are like very specific circumstances where I think it'd be a reasonable move to bank. But I do think, Son's form is better, but KDB to me is the play. If I were betting on just who would score more fantasy points in game week 17, I would definitely go with KDB. I mean, he's going to slice up that Arsenal defense. I feel pretty confident.
So the options there, if you need to move on a Spurs midfielder, and I think the only two candidates to consider are Dele Alli and Heung-Min Son. Lucas Moura isn't in the conversation as far as I'm concerned. If you're not moving KDB, then you're either selling Sterling. Mm-hmm. You're not selling a Liverpool mid because Mane can't go anywhere for you. So you have to be able to find a way to stretch your Pulisics and your Mason Mounts and your John McGinns to get there.
Yeah, so, and Sterling to Son seems fine. Like, do it. I mean, especially because, I mean, you know, KDB to Son, they're about the same price. But if you move Raheem Sterling to Son, you have 2 extra million. You know, that's that turns Jimenez into Marcus Rashford or whatever. You know, like, I feel like there's a lot of you can do with that 2 million. And I mean, do you see Son and Sterling? I see them as like pretty much comparable as FPL assets. Maybe Son's even a better FPL asset at this point. I mean,
without a doubt, without a doubt. Yeah. I completely agree.
So yeah. All right. So KDB to Son, maybe not. Sterling to Son, go for it. Not that anybody asked us that, but that's our opinion. F Flapjack says, is Kane being overlooked? What do you think?
I was hoping this question wasn't going to come up because, the performance against Burnley, it does your head in because we spend so much time sort of trying to conclusively say that Kane is done, he's washed up, his body has failed him, and then he unearths this 40-yard screamer.
Right.
Which you would think if Pope, Nick Pope, is as tall as he claims to be.
What was Burnley, what was even going on with that team? I mean, that Sun goal, like, I don't want to be that guy, but no one could take a yellow card on that. It was like, they were also, it was everyone in Burnley on four yellows and they didn't want to miss the net. That was weird. I don't know. Like, do you agree? Yeah. I mean, it was a great goal, but I don't know. Like, someone put in a tackle, you know, get the yellow card.
Yeah, I don't know if this question made it into the lightning round, but I saw somebody asking, it does. So we'll get to our thoughts on Burnley. But I mean, sometimes it's great for defenders to just let that happen just so we can have those moments of wonder as football fans.
Hatem Ben Arfa moment.
Yeah, or Diego Maradona moments, if we can call them that. So yeah. I guess I'm okay with Burnley just falling flat every once in a while so that I can experience joy. I like joy. But Kane, it's one performance. And mm-hmm. I think FPL managers are – okay, so there's the one hand where you have to take a leap of faith, and then there's the other hand where FPL managers can be prone to these fits of fancy.
Right.
And a couple of wonder goals against a very diabolical performance in Burnley. Mm-hmm. Do we read into that Kane is back in form, or do we read into that as it's a fluke performance? I mean, the answer is certainly somewhere in between.
Right.
But what I know about Kane more is what I have seen from him 16 through 15 game weeks. I do not know only about his game week 16 exploits. So right. I will not be fooled this time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the answer is that we can now at least ask the question, which I mean, going into this match, it was one goal and no assists in his last five. I guess he missed game week 11. But even since Mourinho joined the club, right? I mean, you know, he had one goal and no assists in the last three matches, the West Ham match, the Bournemouth match, Man United. It wasn't like he was looking over. I mean, honestly, I still think he is kind of overpriced. I mean, at 11 million, I still don't feel, I would much rather have Son, and I'd rather have Ali for that matter too. At least we can start asking if he is underrated. I mean, you know, we're talking about this leap of faith thing. I mean, it's you could do it. I would like a leap of faith to not be quite so expensive, because this is a leap of faith that would require to kind of rearrange your team to fit him in. So I don't like that as much. If Jamie Vardy suddenly gets injured, then sure, try Kane out. But as it is, I don't love it.
I think you can rationalize it through a coverage conversation in that. And I think we made this comparison last week in that Harry Kane is the Firmino to Ali and Son's Mane and Salah. Mm-hmm. And the level of consistency that we've seen over the last three or four weeks from Dele Alli and Heung-Min Son is like, if you could double up on those guys, how are you not covering the points from Kane? And there is that level of involvement around Kane that I think that the money that you might blow on, as you're saying, the overpriced Kane could be better spent on helping you bring in Tammy Abraham back from injury and other problems that you can solve that way.
Marcus Rashford, you know, I mean, those players are both, I would prefer them over Kane. I not having Tammy for game week 17, by the way, I do not feel good about that, Brandon. I'll tell you that much. Now. All right. Sis says, is Grealish an option even with four yellows? So you brought Grealish in this game week.
Yeah. Yeah. And that yellow that he picked up late in the Leicester game was really painful, because he was neck and neck for the last bonus point. Mm-hmm. Was it with against Chilwell? I can't remember who it was.
Yeah. Maybe. No.
Or Johnny.
Whoever it was. Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Madison.
So then he just decides to push whatever schmuck it was that he pushed over, because he was just kind of done with the game. And
right.
He was the only one on Villa who was putting in any sort of decent performance. So you could sense his frustration. So it was just like a stupid, stupid yellow card. And now it has to cause Grealish owners to worry about this. However, we can dig up that old Diego Costa story every time this happens. And if you let that fifth yellow card scare you away from a possibly great fantasy asset, then I don't know. I think you're just kind of playing with one hand tied behind your back. So bring him in. And what plans do you have that if you brought him in now and he did get suspended for game week 18, could you not solve that problem in game week 18 through another transfer? So are you overthinking it?
Yeah. Depends on how many Liverpool assets you have, I suppose. And if you want, you know, if you want to keep them or not, because the alternative for some people would be, I guess, to go with 10 players or something like that. I mean, I guess it helps that no one has West Ham players except for me somehow, because I still have, you know, you remember you had that non-playing Watford player on your defense?
Yeah, Navarro.
I have Fredericks, who is effectively a non-playing person in my squad right now. He has been the third, my third bench spot for like 10 weeks or something like that. But it's actually like super annoying now because I have to figure out what to do with him because he doesn't play any. Not only is he can't even help me the one week I need him to help me. Somehow it's like, it's crazy. Like West Ham have not had a good fixture. I don't even, it feels like all season, certainly in the last like 7 or 8 weeks. Like it's just been like a bunch of garbage. Of course, he gets a clean sheet away to Chelsea. I don't know how that happened still. That was just one of those weird fluky matches, I guess. I guess maybe it was a derby or something, and you know, that was, we were up for it. But
well, but okay, so you, Grealish has got to be on your short list for transfers to make. What's your gut feeling here?
Like, yeah, I mean, I'm targeting him for game week 18 as well. I think that Grealish for Tielemans is a move that I really want to make and will probably make in game week 18. You know, the only thing that would, it's just tricky because I do have three Liverpool players, and the question for me is whether I want to just kind of persist with them or not. You know, the fact that
right, they ride it out through game week 18 and just let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of depends on how much faith I still have in Mo Salah. I mean, he looked, you know, Jurgen Klopp said that, actually it's funny because that's the next question in a running order, so I'll just Karthik says, is Salah back in the frame? And Jurgen Klopp said after the match that Salah was finally back to 100% and that he is finally there. So if Salah is back to 100%, he's actually cheaper now than Sadio Mane. Do you still have to move to Mane? You know, is Mane? I mean, I don't know. Like after game week 15, I was like, yeah, I have to do this like as soon as possible. The only reason I didn't do it before game week 16 is because it was so obvious, I think, that he was going to get rested. I didn't know he'd get the full rest, but I thought he wouldn't start the match. As it turned out, you know, they really just didn't need to bring him on. I was thinking about that when I was watching the match. It's like, I feel like anytime you see the substitutions and the number is 20 or higher, and whoever's coming in's number is also 20 or higher, it's like the game is clearly a blowout in one direction or the other. You know, it's like, it's never, you never see a 26 for a 44 during like a 1-1 match. You know, it's like, it's only when it's like 3-0 and the game is over. So,
Phil Foden's coming on.
Yeah. So I thought Salah looked great. I actually thought he could have, he was back to his aggressive self, which I thought was really encouraging. He actually could have had even more in that match. I'm really glad that he scored too, because I think, as we all know, players who score a lot of goals sometimes need to get a little lucky and just get a goal, however they get it, you know, and that tends to kind of fire them up and they get kind of hungry for goals again. And so, so now I feel like maybe I just hold Salah. And, I mean, if I feel like they're going to play equally, he's been rested a ton over the last month or so. So if he really is back to full health, I don't know why he would keep getting rested in these Premier League matches. I just don't see that as something that's going to happen, you know, any more than anyone else is susceptible to it, you know? So,
Klopp is lying his face off in all these press conferences. So
I'm
not entirely sure what that means. And I mean, we were here with Salah after that Man City game where Salah looked electric and he seemed to sort of fall. His form seemed to dip immediately following. So
so for you, you don't have Salah or Mane at the moment. And going into game week 18, I mean, you're talking about Rashford, but you have to at least be, or going to game week 17, excuse me. We're talking about Rashford, but you have to at least be considering Sadio Mane too, right? Like he's got to be in the a contender.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So it's Sterling is the guy that's going to go. And the question is, does Sterling go for Sadio Mane or does he go for Dele Alli?
Right.
So the Sadio Mane pick is because the game week 17 fixture is so plumb and it's a captainable fixture. But then you immediately go into a blank and then that Leicester City away match.
Right.
Which
not a great two-match run.
Yeah. So, I mean, the way I tend to manage my fantasy team is to avoid those situations.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that I have to duck and cover during game week 17, again, without any Liverpool coverage. And I haven't had Liverpool attacking coverage since I wildcarded in game week 5. And,
yeah,
you know, my overall rank doesn't actually endorse that as the best way to play the game, but
right,
so it is. It's a problem, but I think what I'm going to end up do, what I'm going to end up doing is revisiting Liverpool after game week 18, mm-hmm. and it'll be an interesting situation at that point to see where we are with Mane and Salah going into that Leicester match or coming out of that Leicester match, and I think maybe that will help me figure out which of those two players I want. Because I'm with you. If Salah is actually going to come back into form, then I would happily take him over Mane, even though Mane looks like the best player in the world at the moment.
He does. And I think that if there is a possibility that I just move KDB to Mane as well. I mean, I wouldn't do it before game week 7. I mean, you know, maybe I would probably wait until game week 20 to do it, but you know, I was looking at overall points. And sometimes that's like it's a way to tell, like, the season is so long and you sort of like narrative start building in your head. And, but I was kind of surprised that like that Mane and Salah are first and third in terms of total points in the season. You know, you think of this as being like this terrible Mo Salah season, but it's you know, it's really not. He's got 7 goals and 4 assists on the year. You know, third overall and total, you know, total midfielder points for the season. And so maybe the move in a few weeks is just to have both of them. And you know, it sort of depends on whether Salah kind of proves that he's back. One match does not do that. And that Bournemouth team is it's getting kind of scary for them, right? Like it's
yeah. No, Nathan Ake. I mean, Ake is the only one who seemed to have any sort of leadership skills back there, or I don't know if it's leadership skills or footballing skills, I should say.
Yeah.
Like I'm licking my lips, this Chelsea Bournemouth fixture in game week 17. Yeah.
Disgusting. That was all right. all right, we got a few more questions here. Let's do these a little faster though. Okay, let's do them the lightning round style to get through them a little more quickly. Gareth Owen says, is it ever worth a hit to bring in a keeper?
Oh man, so the question that's been popping up for the last 3 weeks is, should I get rid of Pope? And the answer is, yeah, you should have 3 weeks ago.
I feel however, that, this is a true story. So there's the person that we talk to on Twitter a lot, Chico Fernandez, and he was asking me about moving Pope to Gaita. And he was like, well, what do you, you know, how do you, you know, what, you know, do you think that works out in the end? And I was like, well, I was like, I see Pope is getting like 3 points in both of those fixtures. I think it was like, do I want to, you know, is it worth it on a hit? And so I was like, well, mm-hmm. I see Pope getting 3 points in both of those. That's 6 points. And I was like, Gaita maybe gets, you know, maybe gets a clean sheet with no bonus in one. And then maybe like, you know, they concede in the other. And so I was like, so I think in the end, it's like with the hit, it doesn't quite come out, you know, it doesn't quite work out. And of course, yeah. I mean, Gaita has what, like 18 points in the last two and Pope has one. So
yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy how much that.
Well, here's with goalkeepers, you're not chopping and changing with goalkeepers. And if you are, you're a psycho maverick. You're not chopping and changing, meaning the goalkeeper transfer that you make is for the long haul. haul. It is a long-term move.
Right.
So if you feel like you have to take a hit to get in the keeper that you want, this is for the long term, and I think that it can bear fruit given that you're trying to amortize this transfer over 2 or 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it can be. In the strictest sense of like hits are bad, there is generally a way for you to make this goalkeeper transfer happen within a 2-week time frame without a hit. Maybe you have to sacrifice a sexier attacking transfer, but just eat your vegetables in that case.
Yeah. I this idea that you can never make a burn a transfer on a keeper, I think is I've never completely agreed with, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you just said it. I'm pretty much with you on your assessment.
I mean, just like look at that Gaita Pope comparison. Is yeah, hindsight is what it is, but you should have made the move.
Difference.
Yes. Yeah. And so therefore, goalkeeper transfers are worth it.
Yeah, I'm bringing this up because I told him not to. I mean, you know, I actually tried. I tried to get out of the. I'm saying this is like a long winded way of apologizing for a bad for guessing. So
well,
so
we just got to
wrong.
The end of Good Will Hunting with you.
It's not your fault, Chico. Fault, it's Josh. It's mine. All right. So that's actually why I stopped doing the advice shop. By the way, I couldn't deal with the pressure. It was, you know, it's you didn't want people to come back at you. You feel too guilty. Jeremy Byrne says, "Is Richarlison a trap?" Now, Richarlison,
yeah,
we have not.
Yeah,
we have,
he's a trap.
We've barely talked about him the entire season. You've never been a Richarlison fan ever. This is going back years now. I like him a little more than you do. He's having a sneaky good season though. I mean, he's got 4 goals in his last 5 matches. He scored in the last 3. I think there's some potential there.
This Duncan, I'm going to go out there on a limb and I'm going to say this Duncan Ferguson thing, it's not happening.
Okay.
That was one match. He probably threatened to rip everyone's arms out of their sockets if they didn't go out there and run their asses off for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's only going to go so far. I mean, Gylfi Sigurdsson is a gray-haired old Icelandic hermit. He can't do that for more than one match.
That's true.
So
one match to impress, make sure he keeps his contract. Mm-hmm. And yep. All right, fair enough. I mean, I'm kind of with you. And also their fixtures aren't great over the next few weeks either. All right, so just a couple more lightning round style questions here, Brandon. Suren Sayadowski, our new patron, says, is the Vardy party going to end anytime soon?
I can't see how it does end. I mean, we all remember the Leicester season and when Vardy was going for the 10 game and then setting the 11 game scoring record, and it was just flowing. It was flowing through him like it was the force.
Yeah.
And there's something kind of equally magical, maybe in a slightly different way with this Leicester side. And
he hit another level. He was Super Saiyan today. I mean, he hit another level. Like it was, those goal celebrations were like psychotic, you know. he's just so amped up right now. I mean, I'm not even sure he was this good when Leicester won the league. I mean, I know he had that incredible run, but has he ever been better? I mean, it's like it's one touch and he never misses. It's incredible. And he had a couple of attempted assists that really should have come off in today's match as well. Madison can't shoot, can he? I mean, he's a really talented player and he's a pretty good fantasy player as well. But I don't know. It just feels like he can't shoot.
I think he can. Maybe he can shoot best when the ball is standing still, given that he's a dead ball
right,
specialist.
That's true. Dimitri Payet.
He was trying to be a little too precise with that shot that he put off of the right hand post to be generous. But I think Vardy is, if I'm thinking of the goals that he scored during the title winning season, he was scoring a lot more goals either on the run or mm-hmm. from farther out.
Outside the
and
box.
He's scoring like Man City-esque tap-in goals this season. And it seems like he's maybe reformed his game. And I mean, Brendan Rodgers has reformed the whole squad around him, but it seems like it's easier for him to score with his team.
It's true.
He had to work harder.
It's like, it's amazing that it took this many managers to get there, right? It's like this guy is incredibly aggressive and he never misses. And even if he does, he's so like psychotically single-minded that it doesn't matter anyway. You know, he doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy that's down on himself. And so like the whole, yeah, it feels like the whole strategy in some ways is like, just get the ball to him in the box and watch him make magic. And yeah, I mean, like you said, I don't know why it would end either. I, you know, and that's actually his form is the, you know, is the only real problem with the differential captain idea. It's just that it's so hard to go without a captain. I mean, you know, game week 18 away to Man City, I might have to just captain him again. I mean, I've captained him for five game weeks in a row. You know, I have not had a blank yet since I started captaining him. It's like the best -4 I ever took was to bring him in 5 weeks ago. And I mean, can't you see him scoring away to Man City? Maybe he doesn't score two goals in that match, but it's kind of a tricky game week anyway. So maybe, you know, if I was going to bank on almost anyone scoring in any game week now, it would be him, no matter who the opponent was.
Yeah, I can definitely see it. And City's defense is not great at the moment. And you just look at the goal stats table. Jamie Vardy is like leaps and bounds beyond 16 goals on this season. So if you look at what Jamie Vardy has accomplished in his career, this is a classic lightning round answer, by the way. What are we on, like minute six of this one? if there's one thing he has yet to do in the Premier League, is to win the Golden Boot. So this could, I mean, Leicester could by all accounts like charge for the title this season, but I think Golden Boot will become a singular focus for Jamie Vardy.
Yeah. I mean, he's got what, 16-16. I mean, setting the Premier League goal record might be next for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, what I think last year the was the Golden Boot split on like 22 goals apiece or something like that. So I mean, yeah, you certainly expect him to score them more than six in the next 22 matches. And Mo Salah said it, right? And that was on like what, 31 goals, 32, something like that.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's in play. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe you think he'd cool off at some point, but it's definitely in play.
Yeah. 22 goals was the tally between Aubameyang, Mane and Salah last season. And then in the 2017-18 season, Salah with 32 goals.
Okay. And I think 32 is the record, at least for the modern 38 game season. So yeah, I don't know. I'm going to keep rolling with him, I think, until I don't want to. How's that for an answer?
All right, fair enough.
Final question. Eric Floodman says, has Sir Lundstrom fallen out of grace?
Has he fallen out of grace? No, we have just been spoiled with Sheffield United, yeah. Right? I mean, this is just a good reminder of Sheffield United are a recently promoted club, and they were never going to challenge for the top four.
Yeah. I think the only,
and I mean, even so Lundstrom had a goal chalked off, yep. And he had an assist that he should have had an assist to McGoldrick when McGoldrick can't skied
shoot.
That.
Jeez. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you want to talk about guys who can't shoot. You're talking about McGoldrick.
So the Lundstrom we know is very rare. It's weird.
Lundy, he's still there. He's getting his chances. And for what you paid for him,
yeah,
just shut up and be happy.
I will say, if you don't have him for some reason, I guess, you know, it's possible. Possibly listen to this podcast, you don't have him yet. At 5.1 million as like a retail price, you know, like walking into the store, paying full price the way you do at J.Crew. That seems like a lot of money. And at that point, at 5.1, I'm thinking about some of the other Sheffield United assets. You know,
George Baldock, you've got to go for George.
Yeah. Yeah, two goals and three assists. The rescinded, was he the one who had the yellow card, the red rescinded for the yellow today? Was that Baldock? I think it was.
Was that
somebody else?
Basham?
Maybe it was Basham.
I think it was Basham.
Right. Yeah.
So it's hard to tell them all apart, these good looking Sheffield United guys.
Yeah.
But so are we answering the question of who we're dropping to bring in the players that we need to move up the ranks? Because a move from Lundstrom to Baldock, if you look at the performance today, where you know, Lundstrom has this crazy high ownership and Baldock has the much lower ownership,
Yeah.
Is that too much of a risk to go without Lundstrom?
If he bought him at any kind of low price, I feel like it is. It doesn't feel like that's going to net you enough to, you know, I mean, because you still have to play defense too. You know, you can't just, yeah. You know, so I think that, I think like the one thing I'll say about Lundstrom is just that you and I said it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and it feels even more true than it did then, which is, the guy is not an essential every week starter. And I think that he had sort of fallen into this mode where it was like, you know, away to Man City. Well, it's John Lundstrom's first on the team sheet. You know, it's like, I think we've gotten away from that a little bit. I don't think that, I think that he's very benchable in certain fixtures. And, so yeah, I mean, but dropping him, I don't see that as a real benefit.
Great.
That was great. It was a great answer. And let's take a quick break. And we have an actual lightning round to get to. Then we're going to talk about game week 17.
Hey, guys. Today's podcast is brought to you by Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction, it isn't easy. I mean, it's especially tough after an average to bad game week score. Like, I'm sorry, honey, but my captain just failed. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan, and if medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. To get started, just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire and complete an online visit and connect with a doctor. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Again, that's GetRoman.com/BlueWire to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping.
All right, Brian, we're back. It's lightning round time. It's time to do those questions that don't fit into the running order. FPL Jeb says, it's important to roll your transfer with game week 18 looming.
I don't know if it's important. It would certainly help, but like the adage of you've got to play the game week in front of you, like don't try to roll your transfer to the detriment of your game week 17 side.
Yeah.
Worst comes to worse, you could look to take a -4 points hit going into game week 18. Because I think there's going to be a lot of chaos with so many managers owning so many Liverpool players.
Yeah.
I think that there will be room for you to, you know, get a little crazy with the -4 hit going into game week 18 if you feel the need.
Yeah. It's, I'm just keeping it in mind. I do have four players who aren't playing in game week 18. So, it unfortunately does mess up my personal strategy a little bit. I put off dealing with it as long as I possibly could, and now I have to. And so, yeah, certainly my next two transfers will be built around that. It just makes it a little tricky, I think. And I don't really want to have Tielemans away to Man City either. So I may just move Tielemans to Grealish. Just before game week 17 and just go for it. I could also hold. I may just hold my transfer too. I think that's a possibility. So yeah, there's a couple, I don't know, but I do think that you have to at least keep it in the back of your head. But I also think it's fine to bench three Liverpool players and roll it there with 11 players. And if one of those 11 players doesn't play, then that's fine. And I think that sometimes there's this idea that you have to have 11 starters and that your game week's going to be a disaster. And I have a good game week score this week and I got a bunch of one pointers in my team. You know, it's like sometimes every week.
Let's see. I'm looking at them. I have two players who achieve 1 point. I have 1, 2, 3, 4 players on 2 points.
Yeah.
So yeah. You end up a game week where one or two of your players don't even field a full 11. You're fine.
Yeah. And like, what are you going to like drop Trent for just cause he doesn't have one game week, you know, where he doesn't play. So, I think that, hopefully I will have 11 players, but if I end up with 10, I think that's fine too. I mean, I actually think it was like a couple seasons ago, I had a strong season and I had like this like weird stretch for like 3 game weeks in a row. I only had 10 players in my team through like this combination of rotation and injury, and it's, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Doesn't matter. All right. Next question. Jeff Wachma says, have Burnley players stopped playing for Deitch, or have they mentally chalked off the Man City Spurs games in order to regroup for their next five fixtures, which have a little bit more points potential? So what do you think about
that?
I
love this theory from Jeff where it's like, all right, lads, let's go out and get completely waxed by City and Spurs.
Yeah.
I mean, personal pride, there are limits, I think.
Yeah. I thought they fought in the Spurs, I mean, the Man City game. I felt like there was some fight in that game, right through the end. But yeah, with Jeff Hendrick, didn't he score in like the 90th minute or something like that?
Yes. Yeah. You got two teams, I think, that I kind of read through the same lens right now, Bournemouth and Burnley, where they've been around for a while. They fought hard to get promoted at some point to the Premier League, and both Eddie Howe and Dyche have been with those clubs through thick and thin. Do these clubs and these sort of legacy systems just flat run out of gas at some point? And are we at that point with both the likes of Eddie Howe and Sean Dyche?
Right. I mean,
maybe. I mean, like, what players have they brought in that have really rejuvenated these clubs?
Well, yeah. I mean, and look at Spurs under Mourinho, right? Where, I mean, look like Dele Alli was going to drift through it yet another season, you know? And so, you know, I don't know how much Mourinho's even changed things, but just having different voice, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, dad.
Yeah. A new dad. Exactly. The Bournemouth thing is tricky because I guess, Howe is probably untouchable, right? Unless they lost, I don't know, 12 matches in a row or something. Right. And even then they probably rehire him next year. You know, it's, yeah.
I think they have a big chalkboard somewhere in the Bournemouth clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at the start of the season, Eddie Howe just takes the piece of chalk and he writes in big letters, broadcast rights. And that is the only thing that Bournemouth is playing for right now. They're playing for a slice of that Premier League broadcasting package. They aren't playing for trophies. They aren't playing for European football. They just want that TV money.
Their transfers have been so, I guess they had our boy David Brooks. That one worked out very well. And his injury, I'm sure, has hurt them a lot. But some of the other ones, I mean, just Phil Billing, just skying the ball. He's like Andros Townsend. Anytime he gets the ball, he's just shooting it over the bar. And Ryan Fraser is, I mean, he's not a transfer, but I don't know what's going on with him this year. And I mean, is Jordan Ibe, I guess he's still on the team, but waste of a transfer was.
Two of the young leading lights just this season in the Premier League, Lys Mousset and Tyrone Mings.
Right.
Both players that have come through Bournemouth and they did nothing there.
Yeah.
And they had to leave that club to go be decent players. And I think that is quite damning for Eddie Howe.
I mean, it's what an incredibly long season it can be, right? I mean, just at game week 7, we were on the verge of creating t-shirts that said Callum the Truth Wilson across the front, and he has not scored since that game week. And that was, what is that, like late September or something? So I mean, it is just insane. What a disaster this team is. So it's funny because we started talking about Burnley, but the Bournemouth thing is even crazier to me. Like what their defense was never that hot, but the attack being just non-existent. And you just looked across the board and you're like, well, who's even leading it? It's like Harry Wilson's been pretty good at times, but he's really young. Ryan Fraser is just completely fallen off. Phil Billing sucks. I mean, you know, let's face it. Jefferson Lerma is, he's defensive midfielder. He's pretty good, actually.
Harry Wilson is he's a lone player too. It's not like he's going to be there next year.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, remember Sermon was good last year. I mean, maybe some of these players had injuries. I don't know, but Dan Juma, I guess he actually had a couple of moments in the Liverpool match, right? He looked kind of dangerous, I guess. But I mean, I don't know. We'll see. He's still in one assist in the season, so hardly setting the world on fire. So just a weird team. I don't know.
Yeah, very weird.
They need Josh King. And, oh, Dominic Solanke. That guy stinks too.
How he continues to start is like one of the great mysteries of the Premier League right now. He is so bad.
Quit buying Liverpool's worst players. Like, just if they just stopped doing that, they'd be so much better. It's, I don't know. Yeah, but Burnley, they're like a system team. Like, they're, I actually think they're fine. And, you know, it's funny because I have I'm like the last person who's still rotating goalkeepers, and I have Matt Ryan and Pope. And I mean, even though they just got crushed by Man City or by Spurs, excuse me, I'm still planning to start Pope at home to Newcastle in game week 17. And I don't know. I just think like they're the kind of like their system is still pretty strong. And I think that I certainly would advocate for transferring in any other players right now. But I don't know. Like, I feel like a 5-0 game, that's like the classic. They bounce back, right? And they win this game like 3-0 or something.
Jonjo Shelvey is going to light Pope up like a Christmas tree. And it's going to be beautiful.
He's just going to get 9 saves then. That'll be fine. That'll... Yeah, Shelvey, that's a player we should have talked about more. God,
he's
fire right now.
What a masterclass.
Yeah, 3 goals in his last 3. That's, yeah, you want to talk about
it's Andy
cheap...
Carroll. Like, yeah. Hasn't Andy Carroll assisted 2 of those goals? It's like,
has he really? Yeah.
What magic is going on over there?
Yeah, and kind of an okay run, too. They've got a couple home matches coming up. So, yeah, that's like a – I know we're like so far off the lightning round thing at this point, but like an underrated story is just that Newcastle are probably fine this season. Like, what a crazy turnaround that is, right? Like, they were awful to start. Now they're 10th, you know, like they've won 3 of the last 5. Like, they're clearly not going to go down this year. It's wild.
That table, if you were to look at the Premier League table right now, going into game week 17, you would say, oh, is this game week 1? Like, it is a
it's weird.
Mass chaos.
It really is. I mean, yeah. I mean, you have Palace up there in 9th. They've actually fallen. They were as like far up as 5th, I think, a while ago. Yeah, Wolves haven't lost. I think Wolves have not lost since September. I think I saw that before today's match. It'll be interesting to see if Norwich City can actually stay up. I think that they only have 1 win and a draw in their last 5, but it feels like they're on the way up again. I don't know. Does that feel that? Maybe it's just a fantasy thing. Maybe just in fantasy, they're kind of a little better, but you wouldn't like necessarily peg them to stay up this year.
I got to admit, I wasn't listening to what you were saying because my wife is watching a Marriage Story in the other room. And I just started drifting away thinking, my wife is watching a movie about divorce and I'm in the next room next door.
You and I have already
podcasting about fantasy sports.
We've already discussed this, Brandon, offline. We all want to watch Marriage Story, but you don't watch it with your spouse. That's just a classic. That's the smart move with that movie. All right.
All right. We've got one more question.
Final lightning round question. And I was just, you can just cut all that if you want. I was just rambling on about Norwich. And Braden Hale says, stick with Zaha. Tough one.
Part of me is like, well, you're already invested. Maybe let's see where this goes. But thinking about this in hindsight, it was interesting how the conversation around Zaha seemed to drown out the conversation that we should have been having about the Palace defense.
Right.
And I think that's still the case. So,
yeah.
You know, I think there are other things you could do with that spot with Zaha. And yeah. I am not a believer. I just am not. And I think he'll do these spurts of things and then he'll go silent for long periods of time.
I like Zaha a lot as a player. But I mean, you know, honestly, it's like I just like him more at 5.5 million than I do at, you know, he's at 6.8 right now. I mean, he kind of does the same thing. I mean, you know, the other, like, it's a little bit like, and I think he's a better player, but it's like Adama Traore. He's 5.2 million, and they're both kind of like doing these lung-busting runs into the box, you know, and they're not, neither one of them are particularly good finishers, but, you know, Adama Traore is actually, you know, he's got 1 more assist than Zaha does in the season. He costs you 5.2 million. So, yeah. You know, I mean, Zaha to me just isn't worth close to 7 million. And that's why I think neither of us really seriously consider bringing him in this year.
Spot on.
Yeah. So maybe don't persist with him, I guess would be, we can't say all that and then be like, yeah, keep him, you know? <It's
fine. laughs> No, Zaha is spelled G-R-E-A-L-I-S-H.
Yeah. That's so true. That's yeah, spelling. Exactly. For like a 0.8 million less, you can bring in a guy who's considerably better. Game week 17, Brandon, kicks off on Saturday. It's interesting because it kicks off with a match that should be really interesting. Liverpool are hosting Watford. It is a weird time for this match because they have an away match in the Champions League that is a must win. Actually, no, it's a must draw match, but they can't lose the match in order to advance. I mean, maybe it may depend on how the other results go, you know. But I think if they get a point, then they advance. So they do that, and then they have the early match on Saturday where they play Watford, and then they immediately leave for the Club World Cup and have, I think, two legs in Qatar. It's like a semifinal, and I think if they win that, they play in the final or whatever. So we could see some rotation here. I think you mentioned this earlier, but I think it's, what happens in the Champions League will really dictate how we feel about this team. I mean, I would, as a Mo Salah owner, I would love it if he just didn't play in the Champions League in midweek, but I suspect he probably will. Think it's, I mean, so I, is that, does it be in the early match scare you off bringing in Sadio Mane at all? Is that a factor for you? Or is it really just the 18 blank?
It's the 18 blank. The fixture pileup is such a real thing for all of these teams. And it is just so much more pronounced with Liverpool, with this travel to Qatar and with the result that they need to get with the Champions League. It's just like, I feel like you're just taking on so much.
Yeah.
Investing going into game week 17. So there's like so many things that are shouting at me that these are problems. But you can't be blind to the fact that this is the best team in the league and they have some of the best players in the world and the most captainable fixtures in game week 17. So I suspect to see a lot of Mane captaincies, expect to see a lot of Salah captaincies, and it could bury me. It could bury me for yet another week. So it's a huge concern to me. So I think if I go Liverpool, it's more of a defensive measure than anything. And my hope is that I can actually regroup and come to Liverpool from an attacking point of view in game week 19 or game week 20.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is game week 19's, you know, after the Club World Cup and it'll be away to Leicester. So you're kind of committing yourself to not having them until game week 20, I would suspect. Right. I mean, you know, so then that it's a tricky thing. I don't know that I would, I feel like if I were in your position, not that you need my free advice, but if I were in your position and you had two transfers in hand, I think you have to use one to bring in Sadio Mane. I just think that's the smart play, but or Salah, I guess, if you want to be risky. But you know, I think one of those two.
Yeah, yeah, it is the beauty of the two frees.
Yeah, and the curse at the same time.
So how likely are you? Well, you've already said that Vardy is your captaincy, and I think that is, for me, a pretty easy decision. Home Norwich.
Yeah.
I mean, Norwich, even though they are kind of like semi-resurgent of late, their defense is still god-awful. And Leicester will just drive right through them.
It's Vardy for sure. I guess I do have Salah as my vice captain right now. That probably moves to Kevin De Bruyne. Actually, I'm going to do that. Actually, I'm going to move to my vice captain as we're talking. My plan right now... My plan right now is to hold my transfer, but it kind of depends on what happens with Lys Mousset, who may end up being just one of those players that was like, thanks for the short-term gains and see you again, never, you know, like it was.
Oh, yeah. Like you bought cheap and you're bought low and you're selling high. And I think that's a great way to play. That's great management.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't get too precious about these people, you know. So if he's healthy, then – you know, and he's ready to play in this Aston Villa match, then great, you know, and I'll probably hold him for the next couple of game weeks because they play Villa, Brighton, and Watford in their next three. I mean, those are good fixtures for any striker outside of McGoldrick, who can't score. And so I think it's I think I would hold him. But if he's injured, then I might be in burn four territory if he's injured. And I don't know. It's kind of tricky. So my plan right now is to not burn any transfers. Captain Vardy, stick with I have like a 4-4-2 in that case with Van Dijk, Alexander-Arnold, Lundstrom, and Soyuncu in the back. So feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, definitely. Tammy is my vice captaincy, and I hope that like Tammy blanking in game week 16, in what could have been a decent match against Everton.
Yeah, had a couple chances.
I feel he did have a few chances. The whole Chelsea thing just didn't come together against Everton. Everton were just running harder. They wanted it quite a bit more. But I feel like I need another week where I get a double return out of Tammy just to utilize him a little bit more as a differential, because so many people, I mean, he's still 35% ownership. It's not like he just disappeared off of planet FPL because of that injury. But I think that people aren't at least thinking of him as a captaincy option in game week 17. And I do think that he very well could be home Bournemouth. Bournemouth's defense has just been decimated.
That hip must be bothering him, right? Like he went down and near the end of that match. I'm like amazed that he played on. By the way, just a quick side note, hilarious moment at the end, like classic, like noob manager move from Lampard, where they're down 2-1 and he brings off James and brings on Batshuayi, and basically is like, hey, we're not going to play defense the last few minutes of this match. And of course Everton scored like a goal like 90 seconds later. It was like the most predictable. I mean, he's done a great job this year, but that was just like he was like too clever by half on that move.
Yeah, I agree. I think the move maybe should have been to bring Tammy off, because it's like, yeah, you put Tammy and Batshuayi right up there on the goalkeeper, but somebody has to pass them the ball.
Right.
And that's what James is meant to be doing. Like when James has played this season, he's been really good at delivering balls from the right. So.
Yeah. Tammy didn't really do anything the last 20 minutes of that match either. So yeah, I don't know. I like Lampard knows more about football than I do, but I just thought that was kind of a, like he was trying a little too hard.
He's a noob.
He's a noob. all right. So yeah. And then we got Southampton, Danny Ings. I want to be out of my house when the Southampton West Ham match is on. I like, what the hell? Like, when did this guy turn into an unstoppable force? I'm not ready for this. It's like, it's bizarre. It's like I guess he's a healthy player now. He will never get injured again. And that's, you know, great. He can play three times in a week. Like that's news to me. Yeah, congrats.
It's like he put his hands on Charlie Austin's chest and sucked what was remaining of his health out of him and said, "I'll use this for Southampton."
Yeah, I guess so. And I mean, poor Shea Adams, right? I mean, he thought it was going to be his year.
Oh, God.
And now it's the Austin year.
They need to send him out on loan in January because he's just not going to play a single minute the rest of the season. It's kind of insane.
Yeah. And then we move on to, we talked about Liverpool and Leicester a fair amount already. Move on to Sunday's matches. Man United and Everton, that should be a pretty fun match. We'll see if Everton really are resurgent or not in that one. And God, Man United apparently are. It's what a win.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, it's a fantasy podcast. We didn't talk too much about that match, but that was, I was very impressed.
I think what was clearly important for Manchester United was to get Pereira out of the starting lineup and having somebody that was a little more secure in Scott McTominay. And Fred is, I mean, to his credit, playing a little bit better, but it seemed like McTominay and Martial being back too, you can't discount that, is only going to make their stock rise higher, I think, going into the further holiday fixtures. So I'm feeling really good about Manchester United.
Yeah. And I mean, Rashford, 10 goals and 5 assists in the season, probably. I mean, I don't know if we can track his ownership percentage by week. I don't know if you can, but still only at 21% owned. And he's got 10 goals and 5 assists in the season. I mean, one of the best fantasy assets this year, and he's still flying way under the radar. I mean, I guess not under the radar as much any longer, but if you get him now, you are not chasing points. You are just getting him before everybody has him is kind of how it feels right now. I mean, he – I mean, what's amazing is it feels like in all of these recent matches, he could have had even more points. I mean, like, I feel like he's hit the crossbar like four times in the last, you know, two or three matches. So
missed a handful of penalties.
And missed a handful of penalties too. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And
Wolves Spurs, that should be a really fun match as well. That Wolves Brighton game was so wide open today. I was a little surprised.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. I was hoping to get a little bit more out of Jimenez, but it's like it's proof that Jimenez and Jota really are a great duo when they're both on top of their game. And you know, if they can keep that up, then they are really good at sharing FPL points.
Yeah.
So that's not a situation of, well, I've got to move to Jota now. No, yeah. I think that's just all positive for Jimenez.
It was, did you see on Twitter when I called him like the worst good player in the Premier League or something like that? And
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. And then proceeded to score a brace afterwards. It was amazing because I did that with Nathan Redmond last year as well. And he scored a brace right after I did that too. So who is the next person that I'm going to say is the best good, bad player in the league? Because that player
is a kingmaker.
Unintentionally, but apparently. And then Arsenal, Man City. I see this as a very easy Man City win, like 4-1 or something like that. I think they destroy Arsenal, even with their bad form.
Yeah, this is a keep Jesus for this match.
Yes. What a great match for him. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, he will just run through Mustafi's legs, pull his shorts down, and score a goal.
if not two, yeah. And then Palace-Brighton, your classic Monday fixture, like classic whatever fixture. I don't know. That'll be kind of interesting, I guess. We'll see if Palace can.
That's one where I debate at my desk whether or not I just track it on a ticker or if I actually pull the game up on my phone, which, I mean, we all know which way that typically goes.
Yeah, you're an addict.
Can't resist.
Yeah, yeah, same here. I know. Like, I'm trying to think of what combination of two teams I would not. Like Watford Southampton, it was like a real test actually, because Watford Southampton played on like it was like the late match on Saturday 2 weeks ago, and I did not. I just tracked that match on my phone because I just did not have any real interest in.
I watched it. It was a bona fide stinker.
Yeah,
it was really bad.
All right, Brandon. Well, that's the podcast. So we'll be back next Sunday. We're gonna keep the Sunday podcast going as much as we can through the holidays. It's really tricky to do. You know, there's just so many matches that it's. I don't know. Like we're not going to try to get too tricky, and obviously we have holiday plans and things like that that'll make it more comp. I don't think there'll be any midweek pods. I think we're going to be doing weekend pods throughout the holiday fixtures. So thank you for listening. Once again, if you'd like to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And Brandon, would you like to thank our producers?
Oh boy, would I. Yes. Big thanks to our Always Cheating producers, Trevor Ingerson, Adam Benjamin, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, De Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wegner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kean Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Bodoktel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, and Andy Martin. And don't forget to rate and review and subscribe to Always Cheating on your podcast provider of choice, Apple Podcasts. We love your 5-star reviews. Thanks to everyone who recently posted reviews and gave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Also Spotify. Thanks to everyone out there who listens on Spotify and sent us screenshots of their Spotify year-end list where Always Cheating was present. That was great to see.
Yeah, that was also that was of course, great to see.
Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, all those great places. Give us a follow on social media, Twitter @HailCheaters, Instagram @HailCheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. And if you have a lengthier message that's just not quite right for socials, send us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or visit our website for all this information and more. It's alwayscheating.com. Our online shop is there with t-shirts, sweatshirts, and mugs for a last minute Christmas gift, or just a treat for yourself. So that's it.
beautiful, Brandon. You just ran through all of that so cleanly. So I'm just going to say we're signing off. Hail Cheaters. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Poku forever.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.